Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Hear that podcast growling, mean and angry. Hear that couple shouting, it's Dana and Jay. It's Dana and Jay.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast Growl. I'm partner Junior Jay Morrison of The Athletic, here with you on the walkout into the wee hours now, into Monday morning on a night where here at Paycor Stadium, the Cincinnati Bengals beat the Baltimore Ravens 24-17 in the wild card round of the playoffs to advance to play at Buffalo next weekend. It was a night where there are a lot of things, Jay, that we could talk about from this game.
Yep.
There's a lot of different directions you could go. You could talk about, man, the offense couldn't quite finish at the end of the game. You had some amazing plays from Ja'Marr Chase, from Joe Burrow, from this Bengals defense, a Hail Mary that went into someone's hands and almost was caught at the end of the game. You had a team overcoming all kind of obstacles. I mean, Snoop Huntley at quarterback making plays. We're not, though. No. In days, in a year, in 20 years, people will only talk about one thing from the Bengals wild card win against the Baltimore Ravens, and that is Sam Hubbard's 98-yard fumble return for a touchdown that was the game-winning go-ahead touchdown in the 24-17 victory for the Bengals. An unbelievable, unforgettable moment.
Longest fumble return in NFL history. It's not just you Bengal fans. I think a lot of just casual NFL fans that watch this are good. This is going to be the Sam Hubbard game. This is what this one's going to be known for. It's the one play that everyone is going to say, I know where I was when I saw that happen. It was unbelievable. And for it to be a Cincinnati native, and I'm still kind of racking my brain here thinking, what are we going to call this play? It has to have a name.
Yeah, it needs a name.
And maybe you guys can help us with that, because it's early. It's late slash early for us. So maybe you guys can hit us up on Twitter or reach out an email. Let us know what that play should be called, because it deserves some sort of title.
It needs something. I'm sure you guys will come. I'm sure something will surface. Here's a few next gens on this, which is unbelievable. Sam Hubbard actually ran 123 yards on that play. He topped out at 17.4 miles per hour. Now, I asked him about that. He said, you know, when they do stuff in training camp and they check the chips to see how fast they were going, defensive line, they love to try to tip that 18. So he'll take a 17.4 at the end of a long drive where they also were in the middle of trying to make a goal line stand on that. And he actually was 0.6 yards from the goal line, so 2 feet short. Snoop Huntley's ball ended up being from crossing the goal line. So actually not really close when Logan Wilson and part Jermaine Pratt were both there. Wilson knocking it out into the hands of Sam Hubbard, who was going the other way. Here's the big one, though. And this is kind of the thing about this game and this play is, you know, via this is the win probability. Okay. The win probability stat. The Bengals on the play before that were 34.1% to win. After that play, they were 83.2% to win, a 49% win probability flip. Jay, we sit here and we'll go through the minutiae of like fourth down decisions, and it's like, oh, 3%.
Yeah.
Okay. Major error if you didn't take that 49%. And a game changer in every sense of the word, and unbelievable to see it play out. It's still shocking to even believe that it happened.
And they needed all 0.1 of that 49.1% because they did not do much after that play. I don't think that, well, no, they did not have a first down after that play. They kept giving Baltimore chances. And that was a remark. I mean, it was a 14 point swing. And I kept thinking, oh, they're going to show the replay because it's like the touchdown early. The ball just barely has to cross the plane. It's a touchdown. I just assumed he had gotten it over, but he did not. 2 feet away from it, per the chip in the ball that you were referencing with those next gen snats. Just an amazing play by Logan Wilson to knock it out and Sam Hubbard to finish it off. And I would imagine that 17.4 mile per hour was hit somewhere around the 30 yard line because he was slowing down once he crossed midfield and it was a chug. He had an escort and they had to knock Mark Andrews off. I would have loved to, the great video the Inquirer did of them going to the Super Bowl. I imagine there's probably videos from bars around somewhere of what the reaction was when that play happened.
Yeah.
'Cause it had to be pandemonium.
Yeah. I mean, and then you get, you know, Hubbard talking about he was running and looking up at the video board to see. And he's like, I just saw somebody. And I was like, he's coming, get a block. He's yelling, he's coming. And, you know, and Marcus Bailey said, you know, I know people are saying it might have been a block in the back, but I don't think I barely touched him. He just fell. I tried to get him on the side, but he admitted he did the hands up basketball. He's like, you know, for special teams, you do stuff like that all the time. It was, you know, unbelievable. He was able to make it down there, had the convoy. Mark Andrews was hauling, you're right. And, but still was able to get it home. The other thing about that play is, Jay, it's not just Hubbard picking the ball up and going 98 the other direction. It's the plays that led to that even gave them the opportunity to make that play. You know, it's Jesse Bates chasing down Snoop Huntley as he looks to be on a beeline for what seems like it's going to be a long touchdown run, but is able to knock him out of bounds just short of the goal line. It's the first down play, Cam Sample.
Yeah. Barely gets a finger on the ball. You can just barely see the trajectory of the ball change. Patrick Ricard, the fullback, was open in the flat and the ball fell short of him. I don't know how much of Cam Sample's fingertip caused that ball not to get there, but I mean, that it had to have slowed it down some. And then on second down, Von Bell got in there with Jermaine Pratt, and the Ravens 4.4 yards per rush, 155 yards. They slam Gus Edwards up in there, and you think for sure that's going to be a touchdown. They stone him short at the 1.5 yard line, and then the next play they punch the ball out and change maybe the course of destiny for this team.
Yeah, you never know, because this isn't the ultimate survive and advance. And we'll talk about the Bengals are playing Sunday at 3 in Orchard Park against the Buffalo Bills, Kansas City, and Jacksonville. In the 4:30 Saturday game. So they'll know when they take the field against Buffalo, whether they potentially could be coming back to Paycor to host Jacksonville. If the Jaguars pull the upset over Kansas City. Otherwise, if Kansas City wins, that would mean the winner of Bills Bengals. Well, if the Bengals won, they would go to Arrowhead. If the Bills won, they would go to Atlanta. But either way, at that point, you'll know when you take the field. The Bills didn't look great today either. I mean, they needed everything they could get to beat Skylar Thompson and whatever was going on with Mike McDaniel's inability to get plays in on time. And so the Bills kind of have had, and that's 2 weeks in a row for them. I mean, they needed two kickoff returns for touchdowns to survive a week 18 win that they needed to get. So it's not like, you know, teams are out here outside of maybe the Niners. This whole weekend looked like this. Every game, you were up 27. It didn't matter. You know, you had the Kirk Cousins at the end and against the Giants. It was one stop at the end. You get the, you know, everything that happened throughout the course of this weekend. These games look like this. Playoff football looks like this. You find a way. And you move on, because the Bengals now move on and they've got stuff to talk about. I mean, they've got issues that they need to work through and figure out where they're at. And we can talk about some of the good and the bad that comes out of the rest of this game besides this one play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to start on the offensive line, you know, who went remarkably 15 consecutive weeks without a single injury amongst the starters. And now in 3 full games since, they've lost one starter in every single game. They lost Lyle Collins for the year with an ACL. They lost Alex Kappa with what we believe will be for the playoffs with an ankle. And they see Jonah Williams go out tonight with a knee. We don't know the extent of it. Saw him on a crutch in the locker room, but didn't look good at all, him coming off the field. So again, we'll see how that plays out, but certainly didn't look good, Jonah Williams. And so you have Jackson Carman coming in playing left tackle. You know, I mean, Jackson Carman, who hasn't played a snap of left tackle as a professional, did it for a couple of years at Clemson, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's what he came in. They moved in the guard here, but now back out the tackle as the swing tackle in this game. You've got Jackson Carman, Volson, a rookie, Ted Karras, Max Sharping, and Hakeem Adeniji out there trying to protect Joe Burrow. And credit to him. You know, the first drive after halftime, maybe one of their best drive, maybe the best drive of the game. 12 plays, 83 yards, had time, had pockets, was able to hit Jamar Chase down the field, Hayden Hurst for the what was nearly the touchdown before they snuck it in. And, you know, they were holding up, but that is what that looks like going forward for full games. You just feel like you're right back where you were last year.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone will rest their hat on the fact that Burrow took them to the Super Bowl last year, even running for his life with all the pressure that line gave up last year. But it's not sustainable, and it is a concern. Well, we don't know about Jonah Williams yet, but they ruled him out awfully quick after he left. That's never a good sign. And you know, I thought Sharping played pretty well, and I definitely think Jackson Carman played well. But it's one thing to come in, the adrenaline's pumping, It's another thing to game plan for an entire week and have the opponent game plan for you and your weaknesses for an entire week. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do against that Buffalo defense, because Baltimore is a great defense, but so does Buffalo. And Buffalo has a very, very good defensive line. And you just wonder if this divisional game is going to look like last year's divisional game with the 9 sacks.
No, yeah. Don't remind Bengals fans of that.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
The other thing is, you know, they kind of probably go hand in hand, was, you know, not being able to finish is something that we've talked about. You know, we've gone about a month now where we've seen this kind of, you know, the Bengals offense had multiple opportunities to salt this one away. You know, 3 drives really, which also helped out by a roughing the punter penalty that gave them new life. And they were never able to get another first down. They were never able to get anything going. They had a holding penalty. Carman and Chirping got beat for a sack. I mean, you had these things happen, and they were never able to get, you know, that time off the clock where they can just finish people. And, you know, Chase talked about, you know, not putting your foot on their throats and not finishing the way that you want to. You still get the win. But it certainly wasn't clean. Now, I give credit. This was exactly the game that we said it was going to be, in that this was going to be Baltimore giving them everything they can handle. A division team, one that's as physical and salty as they are defensively, enough weapons offensively to muster something. And, you know, Snoop Huntley, we'll talk about the play and the fumble and, you know, John Harbaugh saying that wasn't the play to stick the ball up in the air like that. It's a shame that will be what people talk about, because I thought he played a whale of a game, and made some really nice throws. That's just what this was going to be. This Baltimore team was going to make it really hard. Their defense is really good. I would say it's the best defense they'll face. I think they're better than the Bills. I think it's the best defense they'll face all playoffs, certainly in the AFC, and maybe better than San Francisco. You could have that conversation. That's certainly part of it. So you're not necessarily nitpicking that part, but it is a trend that we've seen across multiple weeks that, you know, at some point you gotta finish it the right way, or the Bills will be the one to put you away.
Yeah, because I mean, there's 2 ways to finish, and there's the one where you're trailing, and they've proven they can do that to make the comeback and finish strong that way when they have to, but they have been lacking when it comes to having the lead and burying teams and the foot on the throat. That is a concern. But again, this was a great Ravens defense that not just all the reasons you mentioned for the talent they have, divisional, all that, but playing them 2 weeks in a row. That, I mean, that part is really tough. And yeah, the That's, you have to, if they're going to make another run to the Super Bowl, they've got to get that sorted out, because you've got to be able to take a lead on a team and finish them. They came from behind against Tennessee. They did it against the Chiefs last year in the playoffs. This one was different. They got out to the 9-0 lead. They've got to figure out a way, and whether it's running the ball or Burrow throwing it or the line holding up, it just nothing clicked there after that long touchdown drive to go up 17-10. Not another first down after that, other than the roughing the punter.
Yeah. Still not a ton happening in the run game. You know, 11 for 39 for Joe Mixon, 3.5. He had one rush for 11, but really not, you know, they kind of were bottling up everything. I mean, the long play of the game was a 19 yarder, to Chase. Chase, by the way, I asked him if he had any history with Marcus Peters, why that was clearly so chippy between them. Man, I got nothing to say about that guy. Nothing to say about Marcus Peters. We get it. Okay. Get it. Yeah. No love lost, there, clearly. Meanwhile, Bengals defense, like we said, does keep making the plays. But we did see some uncharacteristic busts in this game. You know, the Eli Apple play to Marcus Robinson, the long run by Huntley right before the fumble was knocked out. Mark Andrews had a couple of big plays where it seemed one was a great catch over Jesse Bates, another one where he's just kind of wide open. So some of the uncharacteristic stuff, you know, 155 yards on the ground, for the Ravens. They are able to hold them to 17 points, but that's a Ravens team where that's the first time they've scored more than one touchdown since in a game on offense since Lamar went out. So there's stuff going on there, but they did continue to find ways to make and shut it down in the fourth quarter when the offense had to kept putting it into their court.
Yeah, and they had a lot of success running the ball wide, and that Trey Hendrickson didn't play a lot. He was only in. It was kind of like last week. They used him sparingly, and that was surprising because this defense has been so good against the run. And they 155, 4.4, the Ravens really did have their way. I don't think you have to – I don't want to say Buffalo doesn't have a running game. They've got two backs that can beat you. But this is just such a unique offense and a really good offensive line, good running backs. Snoop could run the ball. He's not Lamar, but he can run the ball well, and they did. It wasn't a typical Bengals defense performance, yet they get a touchdown again. They hold them to 17 points. If you can force turnovers and hold the opponent to 17 points, you'll take that every postseason game.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what wins games, and they keep finding ways to do it. You know, the game balls tradition is back. Zach Taylor out at the Blind Pig and Kitties, and the crowd was clearly had been out drinking for a long time. They were into it. I can't imagine you're at the bar. Here comes the head coach with the game ball on the microphone telling everybody you're the best fans in the world and the place going bananas. Looked like a fun scene, a fun tradition that is continuing to live on here in Cincinnati after these playoff wins.
I wonder, I mean, is there inside information? Do people try to figure out where they're going to go? I can just imagine people are at a bar celebrating, just staring at the door, waiting to see if Zach or one of the players is going to walk through. This made sense. They just went right across the street. This was a late game. Zach even said he wasn't even sure what time the bars were open until around here. So he went to a couple close ones. If they're able to pull one off in Buffalo, they will be back at a much earlier hour, and it could be anywhere that they show up that time.
Yeah, it could be. I gotta say this. So I open up my email, on my way up the elevator, and it is an email, and it just says, for those of you who've been listening to the podcast for a long time, you know what this is about. It just says, pants shitting update. And it just said, and then I open it up and it all caps, the streak continues, exclamation point. For those of you that have been listening to the podcast for a long time, you know about the streak that this was spoken about over recent weeks. So I look forward to more details on that. I think
I don't know.
I'm not sure if I do or not, but either way, that and, The photo of Sam Hubbard with the oxygen on his mouth and flexing is just outstanding viral. I think that is definitely going to end up in a lot. It's definitely going to end up in the Hubbard household. We know that much.
Yeah, maybe a lot of your households too. I imagine a lot of people are going to screen, right click that and save it and frame it and make it their wallpaper on their phone. All that good stuff.
Yeah, an incredible night. You know, again, a lot of stuff to break down, a lot of things that went well for the Bengals. They were good enough to win. That's what these playoffs are all about, and who knows, maybe we're talking about that play by Sam Hubbard being one that ends up being the beginning of a special run, and you look back and think, man, none of that could have happened if it wasn't for that one crazy play at the goal line. You know, maybe that's what it is, but it happens all the time. It takes luck to make the runs. You need luck to make long runs in the playoffs. You need a play here. You need a bounce there. You need Jaquiski Tartt to drop an interception like he did in the Rams San Francisco 49ers championship game last year. You know, you need a bounce off of a pass breakup to go your way in Tennessee. That's what every playoff run looks like. And the Bengals, certainly got one tonight. The interesting thing was, you know, coming off, you could sense a sense of, almost the exhale instead of the exhilaration, you know, we didn't do everything right that we wanted to do. We thought we were going to blow this team out. What a relief to win this game. It really felt like a lot of relief from everybody in the locker room tonight more than, you know, a jubilation.
Yeah. There was one cigar. I don't know who was smoking it, but Zach Carter, when I was talking to him, pointed, I was like, oh, that smells good. But he didn't know who had it. When I went down early and when they were coming off the field, a lot of times after a win, even a regular season win, there's some hooting and hollering and some hoo days, and they are really fired up. Anytime it's hard to win in this league, and anytime they do, they celebrate. And that was not the case today. There was a lot of head shaking and deep exhales, and you could tell they knew they had been in a fight, and they knew they may have stolen one, and they knew they have to get a whole lot better to go to Buffalo and win. But Tyler Boyd said it. He said, you can write this down. We advanced. We moved on. That's what it comes down to. It doesn't have to be pretty. Doesn't have to be even, all skill. You'll take a little bit of luck, the bounce of the ball from Huntley's hands into Hubbard's, and then 98 yards later, a touchdown. Just win the game, just move on. But it was a different feel as those guys were streaming off the field.
Yeah, BJ Hill told me, he said, you know what I'm doing? Going home. I'm tired. And because it was a war, you know, it was just an absolute, but that's what this game was going to be. You know, finding a way to beat Baltimore is finding a way to come out of the muck. They're going to drag you in it. They did drag him in it. They played the first half exactly the way they wanted to. They slowed the game down. They only had three possessions. One of them, they forced a turnover. Like that, beating Baltimore is a battle against pulling yourself somehow out of the mud that they will pull you down into. And the Bengals found a way out of the mud. They found a way. That's the thing about this team. It has been the thing about this team last year and all throughout this now 9-game win streak. They seem to find a way to get to where they need to get to. And they did it again tonight with a little help from 98 yards of Sam Hubbard huffing and puffing the whole way. All right, that wraps us up. We will have plenty more coming to you, of course. Bills week. We've got the walkout from Orchard Park next week. And all your podcasts, everything you expect. Keep it locked to The Athletic. Keep it locked to Hear That Podcast Ground. And we will keep you rolling. Have a good one, everybody.